Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the SDM Show. I'm your host, Rob Cairns, and in this week's episode, I sit down with my good friend, Jeff Brown, friend of the show, where we talk about social media trends, what happened in 2020, and where we see things going in 2021. So do me a favor, grab your favorite drink, your beverage, sit back, relax, and enjoy this week's podcast. With my good friend and friend of the show, Jeff Brown. And for those who don't know, Jeff in my circles doesn't need any introduction, but I'll give you one. He's a workplace education trainer. And I thought we'd sit down and look especially some trends at what social media did in 2020, where it's going in 2021, throw some other insights in for you so you can learn a little bit. Jeff, how are you this morning?
We're doing great, Rob. I've been looking forward to this talk for a while. It's always great to gab with you and discuss where things are going, because you and I, generally speaking, are fairly ahead of the curve.
Yeah, I think in this business, to do well, you actually have to be ahead of the curve, and you've got to work it so that you're ahead of the curve. So that's like the real key, I think. So you don't get ahead by being behind the curve, certainly, right, Jeff?
No, you don't. You've got to necessarily try to stay ahead, take a look at where things are going, look at how things are responding, and then make some really good calculations as to how to move ahead. And yeah. I do that for a lot of businesses in workplace education, do a lot of social media training and try to give them information that's going to help them be ahead of the curve and literally create visibility for them in their business.
Yeah. And unfortunately, to be ahead of the curve is changing every day. I mean, I don't know. I said to somebody the other day, when I started in technology, and this is going back to about 1990, things changed once a year. And now we're seeing things change daily, if not bi-daily, if not weekly. It's quite the astronomical mess, don't you think?
Things are changing very fast. It's difficult for a lot of people to keep up, literally, with all the things that have changed, where they're going. But the good thing is that literally the very fabric of business continues to remain the same. And what I mean by that is the business 101 principles. That's still, you can count on those, even though the where the customer is changing, how the customer responds is changing, how our social networks are changing, and what they allow and what they don't allow is changing.
Yeah. Before we get to the 2020 stuff, I'm going to throw two stories out there I think we should talk about. One, let's talk about our favorite U.S. President, Donald S. Trump. Because I can, and it's my show. So there was an article recently that Twitter came out and said that as of Inauguration Day, they're going to reset the followers on the President of the United States account to zero. Did you catch that article?
I missed that one, but that's just petty. You know what I mean? It's just, yeah. Let's just move on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Either you love him or you don't like him, but either way, the fact that social networks would even be thinking about doing that, because if they could do that to him, they can do that to you, Rob.
Of course, and I've got $18,000.
How would you like to start off at zero again? I mean, the thought that they would even do that to someone, that's scary. And that's, whether you like him or not, that doesn't matter. The fact that they could set anybody's followers to zero, that should be alarming to everybody.
Yeah, but what it comes down to, again, is a discussion that you and I have had time in and time out. Social media is what I call rented land. So it's not your space, it's other people's space. And frankly, everybody keeps saying to me, oh, social media is free. Well, we all know it. If something is free, the user is the product of the service.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. The user data is the product.
Yeah. And there's no rhyme or reason. I have a good friend of mine, shout out to Ryan. And he actually had his Facebook account. He was running political ads. I'm sure we think a competitor complained. And Facebook shut down his ad account for 3 days because they can't, with no rhyme or reason, no investigation, no nothing.
Yeah, that's, at the end of the day, is rented land. But what should our expectations be? We all know that these social networks have their terms, their policies, but what happens when they go beyond that and they just start arbitrarily shutting people down because they can? That's kind of scary.
It's actually censorship in the worst way, as bad as China or the Russians, as far as I'm concerned. So, you know, it's a dicey one. The second thing I wanted to touch upon is, we know the world has changed. We know we're in the middle of a COVID pandemic. We know in the GTA, we've now seen two strands from a couple from the UK, of new strand as of yesterday, confirmed by Health Canada. So we've got some issues again. But what I really want to touch on is, more people are at home, more people are spending more time on social media. And is that really good for their mental health?
Good question. At the end of the day, Sue and I are going for a drive because we're getting out of the house, and screen time to some extent is necessary, but it comes a point where you just got to say, I'm shutting all this stuff off and I'm going to focus on me time or family time, whatever time you need. We need time to literally step back and think and literally just not be influenced by social media. We need to be able to think for ourselves and to have that break. It's not good to be on all the time.
Yeah, they actually say the reason we're seeing an increase in the millennials and depression is because of that screen time. And I know I've got to the point, and I've been pretty public about my fight with depression in a previous podcast and things like that. And I actually go for a walk a couple times a day. I don't spend as much time on social media. I basically lurk and kind of talk to the people I want to talk to, if you know what I mean. Like, absolutely, the people that matter, the people that matter, the people like you, the people like Owen, the people like my friend Devinder or Todd or Ryan. I'll have private conversations and I'll stay out of a lot of the, what I call the garbage fluff on social media, because frankly, it's not worth it. One of the problems with social media, and you know this, is people either bring their best forward or their worst forward. They don't bring the in between, and life is just not like that, right?
No, it's not. It's, we're losing the ability to, you know, listen, and we may agree or disagree to agree, but the conversations tend to be less civil than they would have been years ago. And at the end of the day, we can always learn things from other people. Well, having a discussion of, well, why do you think that? Well, we can't have that discussion anymore because people just aren't willing. In a lot of cases, I'm just, you know, just a broad brush right now. There are great people that will literally converse with you, but I find them far and few between.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, it used to be the topics you never talked about were politics and religion, right? Two conversations you and I talk about all the time.
I know.
Because we can converse, but now it's politics, religion, money, health. It doesn't matter what you say, because in the old days, I used to call people what you call airline magazine people, meaning you'd go on a train or an airline, you'd read the quick page in the seat pocket about how to be an expert in finance, and they were an expert. Now they're headline people, so they react on a headline, and you know they haven't read the story because of the comments. Now that shows you the value of a headline, but it also doesn't help the discussion. So,
well, not only that, but we're no longer a nation of readers, we're a nation of scanners. Yeah. And it's to the point right now where we're not reading the articles, we're reading the headlines.
Yeah. And what I would say to anybody is, if you say to me you don't have time for reading, give up a half hour of TV or an hour of TV a day and read instead, and you'll get through a book a week, which makes you 52 books in a year, which makes you smarter than most people. So try that if you give me this "I don't have time" excuse, which I hear all the time.
We all have the same amount of time, and if people are finding time to read and they can do it in their busy schedules, we can all do that. Because one of the philosophies I have is readers are leaders.
I would agree. Yeah. I try to read. I probably am reading a couple books a week right now, so I agree with it. So let's go to 2020. What did you see in social media this past year as a trend or something you liked as a trend?
The fact that people were now, I'm talking about from the workplace education angle, they were now more focused on using social media for their business than ever before. And what was really exciting is the results they were getting.
Yeah.
If they were, and this was not just, we talk about building community. We talk about increasing your reach through building your community. We talk about engagement. When people are doing things that really make smart business sense, you know, things we would have done before the internet, then we were seeing exciting things. People talking about extraordinary reaches in my programs and people just connecting with people that really help their business or getting into places that really took their business to the next level. These were the extraordinary things. And COVID kind of forced us there, but just because we were forced there doesn't necessarily mean that we were all doing it right, so to speak. Yeah. We saw some incredibly great moments where, just like a proud parent, I was absolutely pleased with the outcomes my workplace education participants had. It was really, sometimes it almost brought me to tears, the fact that they were doing so well.
Yeah, and I think there's value in working social media, and what people need to understand, and I've kind of stressed this over the years, is social media is a two-way conversation. It is not a television conversation, but it's also about consistency and about helping people. Because remember, folks, you can find any information you want on this wonderful tool called Google if you haven't heard of it, but people buy solutions and buy the people they work with. They do not buy the information anymore. And that is so true.
Absolutely. Because when you think about it, people would prefer to work with someone they know than a stranger.
Yeah. And so one of the things in social media we're seeing a big increase of this year is video, like ever before. Do you have any thoughts on that?
That's the one thing that I push in my workplace education programs, is that literally people want to see you. They want to see what you sound like, what you look like. They want to go, they're just like me kind of deal. And video really accomplishes that, where I just tell people, just be yourself. Don't worry about getting it Hollywood looking. Just be, I use the term rough and ready. And what I mean by that is just be yourself. Because that's when people can relate to you, because they know that, hey, they're just like me kind of deal.
Yeah. And frankly, if you turn on your 6 o'clock newscast, and I don't care what city in North America you're in, there's going to be a weather person or a news anchor from home. And their lighting's not perfect, even though they've tried. And their camera angle's not perfect. And what we're starting to see, and we saw this even back in June, is people are accepting the imperfect because of the world we're in. So I think there's some reality to authenticity and people just doing their thing now, kind of.
Absolutely. And we can all model that in our own businesses, where we don't have to be perfect, but be prepared, be professional, have that spirit of excellence, but don't be so lost in the overall production of it that you literally miss the message. So that's what's the important thing.
So true. The other thing we're seeing with video even more now is increasing live streaming. And I think, and there's a couple things that have happened worth noting. Twitter's announced, or if it hasn't happened, it's going to happen. Periscope is gone, finally. Buried, like, which is no surprise in my opinion. Everybody's making a big to-do about it, but I don't think it's as big a deal as people think, personally. We know that Facebook Live still has some reach. We know LinkedIn Live, if you can get access,
absolutely
has some reach. We know video up on YouTube has some reach. And then there's platforms like StreamYard and vMix and Ecamm on the Mac that make life easier in setting up instead of the old days where we had to put stream keys in and do all that mess. And, yes, you know, I mean, you can use something like OBS, but I got to tell you, I'd 10 times rather use StreamYard than OBS personally.
So. That allows us to focus on the content that we're producing as opposed to the software that produces it. I mean, yeah. I use vMix a lot, as you know, and I'm always looking for the next best shot. I'm always trying to work my cameras so that literally I get a really great shot, because that's, at the end of the day, live streaming with one camera and that camera never changes is not going to be as enjoyable as something that is very similar to TV where screens change, different angles, that kind of thing. That's what literally makes it more enjoyable, more watchable. And Rob, I can't tell you how many people comment on the fact that they like the changing screens. It's amazing, the comments that I hear.
Yeah, and I would agree with you. And the other thing I would say to people is, if you're an entrepreneur and you want to shoot video, the camera in your phone is probably really good to get started. So, you know, my tip always is get the camera in your phone. I'm using now a Pixel 4a, which has probably the best camera. Yes, iPhone people, the best camera out there right now. The iPhone's a close second. I have to throw that jab in there. So
yes, you do.
And for pictures, it's phenomenal. For video, it's phenomenal. And just do it. And, you know, if you want to take your game up a level, go buy yourself a tripod. Go buy yourself a mount. And go buy yourself an external mic that will sit on top of the phone. That setup on top of the phone you already have is going to cost you $100, and it's a good on Amazon, and it's a good way to get started, right?
Absolutely.
So start there and then grow from it. And, you know, people say, oh, I don't want to shoot video. Well, I think you're at a mistake if you're not shooting video.
Well, for instance, Facebook Live has tremendous visibility out of the gate. It's probably one of the most visible post types, period. Mm-hmm. And when I do workplace education, I literally take people from the place where you're not doing video. Okay, well, let's do video of yourself. Don't post it the internet, but get used to seeing yourself and hearing yourself. And then we up the degree. And I always tell them, be more concerned about the message than the messenger. Now, that doesn't mean we don't dress nice and, you know, comb our hair, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But we absolutely can't allow the messenger to stop the important message that needs to go out.
Yeah, no question. Now, this year, we've had some tough times with COVID, a U.S. election. We touched on that a little bit. It really was the year where a lot of the U.S. election seemed to have been fought on social media, was it not?
Like to some degree? Absolutely, absolutely. This will be the, excuse me, if there's ever been a year that says this is not how you do an election, we can just look south. I mean, it would have been much simpler if we had just had paper ballots. You walk in, you vote. People are getting ballots they didn't ask for. It was just a mess. And so, either way, whatever side, I'm not a, the outcome is the outcome. But at the end of the day, what a mess. I mean, thank God they weren't a business, because that would have been horrible.
Yeah, I would agree. And I mean, even, you know, to show you the emphasis, candidates spend a lot of money on social media ads, especially on Facebook, to attract people. The numbers that I read were astronomical, and it's growing by the day. I think we're going to see, when Canada goes to the polls, and I think we're going to the polls in 2021.
Well, I think Justin Trudeau kind of made a suggestion or a slip, we'll say. I think this year he's going to the polls.
Yeah, I do too. And I think what's going to happen is that battle's going to be fought on social media. There's less and less people that have traditional cable TV So they're not seeing the standard TV ads we see for elections. So the ad money has to go somewhere.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And my greatest hope and aspiration is that all sides get fair treatment when it comes to the social networks as far as their political ads. I mean, that's what should happen.
I know in the U.S. election, one of the things they did was they cut off, I believe, and Ryan could tell me but the exact date, but I think it was 2 weeks or 4 weeks before the election. They said no more social media ads on Facebook and Twitter. The networks actually cut it off and said, we're not, anything you're running up until now, you can continue to run, but you're not going to start the stuff at the last minute just to keep the crap and the mess, so to speak, out of it. So they actually did that and said, we're not going down this road, which I think was a really smart move, actually, to be honest.
Because they still have recourse on social media. You still have live stream. You can still live stream an event.
Yeah.
You can still people speak to your communities literally through live streaming, for instance. So they weren't handicapped just because they couldn't run an ad, so to speak.
Yep. So true. And Twitter seems to keep chucking along. I mean, there's been people have been calling for the demise of Twitter in 2020 all over the place. Oh, it's not doing anything. Oh, it's not anywhere. But where do you think people go to hear the president of the U.S.? Where do you think people go to hear the news story? Where do you
It always makes me think you can love him or leave him, President Donald Trump. But I tell you, Twitter was going down the toilet well before Trump. And Trump reinvigorated Twitter.
I think so.
And that's where, I mean, Twitter is my favorite social network, and it's just how I use it. But imagine Twitter gone, for instance.
Yeah, it's my favorite social network, too. And I look at the people like you, the people like Owen Greaves, our mutual friend. I look at people like Bob Dunn, Bob WP, shout out to Bob. I know Bob and I have more conversations on Twitter than we do on Facebook. It's just the nature of how Bob uses it. If you want to get a hold of him, it's easier to DM him on Twitter. Shout out to a company I have a love-hate relationship with, and that's called Rogers. But to be fair to Rogers, their social media team at Rogers Helps is very good. So they have powers that regular reps don't have. And the reason Jeff's laughing on that one is I've had my fun in the last year again.
Absolutely. We have stories.
Yeah. Yeah. For those who don't know, there was a time when I wrote a blog going back about 10 years ago called the Customer Service Hall of Shame, and Bell and Rogers and Telus were always at the top of that blog. So there's some of that, but I honestly think, like, for client support and immediate access, Twitter's a good way to go, to be honest with you.
Because it's quick.
Yeah. And on my phone, I tend to use the Twitter app. I don't use Hootsuite. I have Hootsuite on my phone, but I don't use it as much. I prefer the app, to be honest with you.
I like the app because even in a moment where I might get tired, I always make sure that it goes to the right account, because social media is replete with stories of people sending a off-colored tweet to the wrong account. Maybe it's Chrysler USA, or maybe it's I'm just trying to think of the there's so many great accounts where people literally have
people have goofed and they don't pull back the tweet. Been there, done that. Now, let's go on to another site, and we need to touch on this one, and that's called TikTok. And the reason we need to touch on TikTok at 2020 is we know, those who don't know, TikTok is big investment from the Chinese government. In the Trump era, there was suggestions that might shut TikTok down to the point that we're looking for a buyer for TikTok North America. I don't think that ever happened, to be honest with you. So that was on the go. And then we kind of say, is TikTok relevant? It seems to be in the younger generation. I personally have a tough time getting my head wrapped around it. Do you have any thoughts, feelings about the politics, the shutting it down, or even is it relevant?
Well, the young people are going to TikTok. That's just reality of it. Mm-hmm. My concern is, like any social network, could it be shut down? If I put equity in building a community there, could it be taken from me? And TikTok seems to be one of those ones that it might very well. It depends on what happens in the next, I would say, so many days.
Yeah.
It depends on literally who owns it, what they do, and what are they doing with it, for instance.
Yeah. There's a lot of that concern, no question.
It's a risk being on there, but like risk, cost, benefit, we need to analyze, is it a place where we can build value? Because at the end of the day, social media is building a community around your business that will support you, will share your stuff, will comment, will like your stuff, for instance. And is there a place where this thing could be taken from us? I mean, even we want to just think about social networks, period, where Mark Zuckerberg, they were talking about potentially like Microsoft breaking the company up. What does that do to a company, for instance? And so at the end of the day, it all comes back to it's rented land.
No question on that one. Remember the rented land. And also remember, the only two things you own is your website and your email list. And I'm going to come back there, and I'm going to come back there, and I'm going to come back there. And you don't own the email platform, but you own the list. So, you know, you need to think about that too.
Absolutely.
So, we talked about that. Let's go to Facebook. And I want to talk about an interesting trend. We knew a couple of years ago, pages started to have visibility and everybody started to move to Facebook groups. Now, the trend I'm starting to see is people are moving away from Facebook groups and moving, believe it or not, all things become the same, back to forum software. Excuse me. So we're talking things like Discord, Mighty Networks, Circle. And so what people are doing is they're taking their forums and getting them off Facebook because of Facebook's convoluted algorithm and Facebook's convoluted discussion and saying to their tribe, if you want to converse, let's get off Facebook and let's go to a forums software. And forums were all the rage on websites like 10 or 15 years ago. And that's how the original internet was built, was on forums and web. So thoughts on that?
People want to see their posts and their comments, and they want to see the comments from other people, and they would like to see it as much in real time as possible. On Facebook, you might see that post or that comment 3 days later, and it's no longer relevant because you've missed the moment. But in a forum, it's much more like Twitter. It's in real time. And at the end of the day, I love the discussions. I love the exchange of the information. But can you imagine your conversation literally, you know, every 3 days you get a nugget, even though the person posted instantly after that, so to speak?
Yeah. It's so true. LinkedIn a little bit. And this comes from personal experience. Everybody keeps saying, oh, LinkedIn is spammy, LinkedIn is irrelevant. Where I'll tell you LinkedIn still matters is if you're looking for jobs. There's still a lot of jobs that are posted on LinkedIn. I think LinkedIn is ranked right now as the number two or number three job searching site in Canada and probably the US. The number one site being Indeed. Monster has become so, how shall we say, irrelevant in today's market. The other site that's up there is a site called ZipRecruiter, if you know it. Yes. But LinkedIn is still very relevant for jobs. So I would say to anybody, if you're moving forward, you should keep your LinkedIn profile up to date if you're looking or potentially looking. But there still seems to be this ongoing problem on LinkedIn in 2020 that Microsoft does not get a hold of spammy. So you connect with somebody and the first thing you get is a sales pitch saying, here's what I do, not let's chat and get to know each other. And then the other problem is the LinkedIn groups seem to be irrelevant in this market. thoughts on that?
Well, the talking to the groups, let's kind of work our way backwards. The group is only as valuable as the people that are in it and the conversations that are being had. The fact that people are spamming others, that's not a good thing. And no. Microsoft does have to get a hold of that. But at the end of the day, LinkedIn is special because if you're, say, you're a young entrepreneur and you're looking for a mentor, this could be a really good place to make that connection. And in that process, you have someone that can pour into your business. And because LinkedIn's for business, those are the conversations you're going to have. Mm-hmm. It's on the onus of the individuals to, if they're going to have a group, have great questions, have great people involved, and provide value for everybody involved in the whole process. Yeah. I like the idea that Angie Dickinson says she won't sit down and have a meeting with someone where there's not a win-win for both parties, for instance.
Yep.
And so literally people coming into a group and just dumping their little link to their next sale, for instance, that's just not cool. I mean, in the spirit of if we're going to build a greater business, having those greater conversations, having those learning moments, contributing, literally a dump and run strategy is very, on any network, it's a very anti-social kind of move because you're like throwing spaghetti up against the wall and you're hoping that it's going to stick. And last time I checked, hope is not a marketing strategy.
I would agree. You know how I feel about that. I describe it to throwing darts at a dartboard blindfolded and backwards. You know, it just doesn't work. If you want to learn more about LinkedIn, two places I suggest people should go. One is go follow my friend Adam Franklin. Adam's been on this podcast. You can go check out the episode. He's out of Brisbane, Australia. He's a really great guy. He gives away a lot of cheat sheets without an opt-in, and there's a reason he does that. It's lower barrier to entry. So check out his website at Blue Wire Media, do a Google search for it. And the other guy, and he'll be appearing on this podcast sometime in the near future because I've got a commitment out of him, is my good friend, Mr. Neil Schaefer.
Yes, and Neil's quick.
And Neil's written a couple books on LinkedIn over the years. And to be fair, it's interesting. Neil's a LinkedIn guru, but Neil and I normally talk on Twitter. Here we go again, right? So,
yeah,
you know, and we've been friends on social media for a number of years and in the same circle. So I actually got I got commitment out of Neil that we needed to set up a date before Christmas when he could join us. So that will be coming up. But they're two really good resources. Get on their mailing list. They're both approachable. They're both very helpful. I know Adam and his group does weekly lives on how to better yourself on LinkedIn. So if you're concerned about that, go check those guys out. And I have to tell you, Adam made my day last week. We were on a Zoom call and we were both having major problems. So what did he do? He picked up the phone from Brisbane and called me and we finished the call on the phone. So, you know, thank you to Adam, but that's the value of a relationship, right, Jeff?
Well, that's just, it comes back to, I remember my grandfather telling me this because he's a brilliant business person. He says, it's not what you know that matters. It's who you know. Who can you call? Literally. And that's why in business, relationships still are king in the whole process.
I mean, the good example with it, and I know you've shared this story with your participants even recently, is you and I. I mean, we talk almost daily, if not every other day, even for 5 minutes. There's texts that go back and forth. And where did Jeff and I meet? On Twitter. And so people who think it's not worth it. I mean, I did a recording and released a podcast last night with Devinder Sankan. Shout out to Devinder. And we talked about WordPress. And before we even got to recording, we spent 20 minutes just catching up. And where does Devinder live? India. So yeah. The bottom line is, without social media, where do you get a chance to meet all these great people? That's the other side of it, right? So
yeah. And it's still business 101. We need to have mentors. We need to continue to connect with great people where we create win-win scenarios for both parties. Yeah. That's important for business because that's what opens up doors.
Yeah. Go on to Instagram. I, You know, Instagram is a site I have a tough time with, but I get really interesting reach from in places I have never thought. Do you have any? And I cannot get my head wrapped around stories for some reason. And I can't get my head wrapped around IGTV for some reason. But I do really well when I post either a podcast episode or I post something I'm thinking about. Do you have any thoughts on Instagram?
Well, the thing to always remember is Instagram is a story of your business in pictures or video or in the stories themselves throughout the day. Interesting things that are happening, interesting connect moments, interesting customer interactions. It's the story, not so much written as it is in a captured picture, a great video, or a story that's up there. And literally, what is happening in your business and why should people care and why does it matter? I mean, this is an ideal place to bring customers in, having them share their stories about how they have experienced good things in your business, for instance, as an example. And so it's the story of your business. If you think of it that way, then you start getting your head in the right spot for what do I post? What's happening? What's one thing that the business owner has learned that could be helpful for everybody involved in that community, for example?
Yeah, there's no question. And the one site I haven't touched on, even though we've talked about the importance of video, is the world's number two search engine. And you know what site that is. That's
YouTube.
This monster called YouTube. And one of the things that I like to do with YouTube is I'll do Facebook videos and I'll actually download them. And I'm big that you got to use different media for different channels, but I'll actually put them up on YouTube. And I find I sometimes even get extended reach doing that. So I think YouTube still has a lot of value in search terms.
Absolutely, because people are looking for YouTube. And for instance, a good buddy of mine, we were at the back of the computer and we're looking at what color does this port mean. So he types it literally out and there's a YouTube video right on it. People are literally calling up YouTube to get step-by-step instructions or understanding around something. It's like asking Uncle Buck, what's the answer kind of deal.
Yeah. And a shout out to my friends over at WordFence. They do a 12 o'clock PM a YouTube live on Tuesdays on their channel where they talk about something breakdown on security. And you know, because I'm working during the day or I got other things going on, I typically don't see it live, but I can go back to YouTube and watch it later. And that's the value of that. And you know, the way I like to watch YouTube videos like that is if you really want to try something fun, guys, go get yourself a Google Chromecast, put it on your big screen TV and then cast from your laptop to the TV. It's much better.
Absolutely. Watching YouTube videos. I love the example of WordFence because they produce great videos. And not only that, when they do their video talk, they communicate in a way that a lot of people can find it not only interesting, but understandable because the transfer of information stops if people can't understand it. I find that those three there on the workshop deliver a great conversation that's understandable and is actionable.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day,
it really is. And the one behind the scenes of that is my good friend Kathy's aunt, who's also part of their podcast. And Kathy's not on the workshop, but she's part of the podcast. And she that team delivers every day, as far as I'm concerned. So.
I am amazed at how smart they are and yet how easy they transfer the information to the rest of us. Because some of this stuff can be really extremely technical. I'm looking at some of what they've written and some of the attacks and some of the analysis of it. It's fairly high level. But at the end of the day, when they do their video lives, it's really understandable. They explain things well and they tell you what to do. And that is wonderful when it comes to, because not everybody goes into business and they want to be an analysis or a
security guru.
Yes. Nobody's going to go and say, I want to be an accountant and a security guru. The security is what protects the accountant's website, But at the end of the day, we need smart people around us that literally will contribute to us staying safe. They're a great team for doing that.
No question. And they understand it, and they're all over social media. So if you need anything, and frankly, I think most of them do better on Twitter, to be honest with you. Kathy was saying on a podcast recently, she's basically left her Facebook page alone because of the Facebook rabbit hole. And I get that. So, you know, that's why a lot of people don't go that route. So that's the important thing. One site that I've been playing with more and more in this year is a site called Quora. And Quora has been around for a long, long time, but I think Quora is a great site for Q&As. Like if you have a question and you throw it out there and you get an answer, I think it has some value for that. Do you have any sites that you've played with this year, Jeff, a new medium or something like that?
I'm always looking at what's coming. I mean, there's talk about other social networks that are rising up. Trying to get a presence on there, trying to get a feel for what's the interface like. Is it going to be relevant for me to bring up in workplace education? I mean, when you think of, for instance, Parler, for instance, is it worth going to for business? And at the end of the day, it all comes down to this simple fact. Where's your audience? Where are they going?
Where's your tribe?
Yeah. Because you need eyeballs to market to. So wherever they're going, that's where you need to somehow think about having some sort of a presence. And that's the key to it, because there's so many, there's other networks I looked at and they ended up being a dud because they just couldn't get traction and they just weren't bringing the people that I needed to have there to make it worth my time, for instance. And so you constantly try, you constantly look, you kind of continue to survey your customers. Where are you? Where are you spending your time, for instance? Yeah, and that's why it comes back to that TikTok conversation. Are they or aren't they?
I would agree. And I'll tell you, a company that's been down this rabbit hole twice is Google. And we all know in 2020, we went through the demise of Google Plus. And the reality of it is the marketers were all on Google Plus, but the tribes weren't flocking to Google Plus. And it's that conversation again. And they went through that with Google Buzz. And I think Google's problem in the social media space is they do really well when they acquire stuff. So YouTube originally was not a Google property. They acquired it. I have, and you can tell because I have an old legacy YouTube account that's linked to my Gmail account, which is key. But I think a lot of what happened with Google is they do better when they acquire social media properties and they develop. So I think they just frankly need to stay out of that space and do what they do best.
They have created a lot of great things, but at the end of the day, if the end user cannot easily work with it and understand it, then that's a problem. We think of Google Wave. We think of Google Plus. If it's not really simple to use and run, people will not go there.
And if you want to see some of the stuff that Google has killed, there's a website actually called killedbygoogle.com, believe it or not.
They did produce some great stuff. I love Google Wave. They were way ahead of others. When you think about the fact that we could type together in the same spot, that's simple. When I saw that, that was groundbreaking because we know that everybody else, Google and Microsoft, ended up developing with their online platforms that same principle of partnering together in developing the document. But Google brought it forth, but it was just so hard for people to be able to use it at that moment in time. They just weren't ready. Excuse me. And so that's where end user experience is absolutely mission critical for whatever is coming down the pipe.
Yeah. And like, we're not here to bash Google, guys. I mean, one of the things Google does really well, despite all the storage, is their social sharing of, say, stuff like Google Photos. And if you've been following Google Photos, they've added all kinds of you know, I mean, there's an outcry because of the storage limits, but frankly, they've given it away for way too long. And there's and their storage fees are really reasonable. And they've added all kinds of tools to Google Photos for sharing or in editing. So
yeah,
there's a lot that Google really brings to the table. And you know, even if I didn't have a paid Workplaces account, which is the old G Suite account, I'd be paying for storage just for Google Photos. I mean,
absolutely,
their storage tools are amazing. And that's part of it too, right? So
in defense of Google too, I think they finally get it. I mean, you look at the apps now, they are incredibly user friendly. It just, they just didn't start off that way. They had to learn that the KISS principle. I mean, literally I learned that principle a long time ago when I wore green, so to speak, and keep it simple. I won't say what the other S is, but
I will. It's stupid.
Well, when I wore green, there was other S names there too.
Yes, I can tell
the those. But it is important that, like, that Google has done a great job. Like their sheets, their docs, their presentations, all the apps they've built now are really user friendly. But it took them a while to get there.
I am such, you know, we're talking social media, but since we're on this tangent, I'm such a fan of Google Slides, like you wouldn't believe. And there's all kinds of free templates out there and stuff. I actually prefer doing presentations in Google Slides and moving them to PowerPoint than doing them in PowerPoint and moving them to Slides. That tells you something. It's Slides is my go-to presentation app for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
So.
And speaking of that, Microsoft has to be careful with what they build, because they have to limit the distraction. Now, the for instance, Teams, man, when you go to Teams, there is so much you can do. The end user can get lost in what to do. It's like if we bring it all back to the McDonald's menu, when you walked in, the fewer the items there, the faster someone can make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Microsoft.
I'll share with you a Teams story that's worth doing. I was sharing with my new manager, and I was saying I'm recording training sessions. When I do training with fellow staff members, our colleagues, I always say to them, do you mind if I record this session? And she said to me, that's a great idea. I never thought of that. And I'm doing a training session with somebody else. And she actually said to me, how do I do a recording on Teams? Like, it's so easy. If you haven't learned the 10 things you need to do, effectively, it's so easy to get lost. And we even have spreadsheets in Teams that point to a SharePoint portal, believe it or not. So we have spreadsheets in Teams that are actually linked to SharePoint. It just makes it easier to get at them than going through the portal. But let me tell you, yeah, it's so easy to get lost with any of these tools. And I don't care if it's Teams, if it's Hootsuite, if it's Zoom, if it's Meet, if it's any of these tools, it's easy to get lost if you don't do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So as we go to 2021, do you see any emerging trends that are going to hit hard this year besides video? I think video is going to be more important.
I'm keeping my eyes on the social networks as far as what they're allowing and what they're not allowing. Because at the end of the day, businesses need to have visibility. And if they keep on clawing the visibility back, they're going to lose out in the end. At the end of the day, people are getting tired of COVID. We all know that. It's just, we wish it would just go all away, but it's going to be around for a while until we find that solution that works for everybody. But at the end of the day, business still needs to continue. This is going to be the year of the pivot. We talked about it last year that, you know, if COVID's affected you, you need to think about how can I change and transform my business, so to speak. Well,
and let me stop you there for a second, not to interrupt you, not just your business, your life. I mean, you gotta realize that there's people around you stressed out. There's people around you that are hurting. You know, I've been transparent about it. I went through stuff this past summer, and a lot of it was already happening, but COVID just pushed it over the edge. You got to be careful of people around you. I mean, My mom's 76 years old and sometimes has a tough time because she can't go out. So it's not just business. It's life in general, Jeff.
Really. Yeah, absolutely. I'd like to think that this would be a year that we would care more.
Yeah.
But that's going to take effort. That's going to take serious commitment to do that despite all the circumstances. The more businesses will go online this year. More shopping carts will be set up. But at the end of the day, because there's going to be more businesses on there, we know that unless these businesses have set themselves up properly and have good security, good people supporting them, then it's going to be a year where a lot of eyes open up. Let's go with the solar winds conversation.
Oh, you had to go there.
I did. Who puts together a password, SolarWinds 123, and is told that they need to change it, and they don't, and it lets the fox into the big giant hen house of, oh my goodness, what were you thinking kind of deal? Because that had a far-reaching effect on almost, was it 18,000 businesses? I know we're running short of time.
And it's not just that. It's all the banks in Canada and U.S. It's the Pentagon in the U.S. It was Microsoft. It was our friends at Google who claimed that it was a typo. I don't believe them. And it goes on and it goes on and it goes on. And this story has legs. And just so people know, I've got, in a future episode, I've got a security expert coming on with me, and we're actually going to talk about SolarWinds in detail. So this story's got legs. And if you want to see a good breakdown, go check out WordFence Live from last week at the time of this recording, and they spend an hour talking about SolarWinds. So
yeah. The bottom line for business is that you do what you can do, and then you get to rely on others to do what they do to keep your business safe. When someone drops the ball anywhere in that process, things can go bad really quickly.
No question. So quick Happy New Year to everybody out there. I hope you take care of yourself. Do me a favor and take care of yourself and your loved ones. We all know this is a tough time with COVID. Ontario, as time of this recording, we're 3 days into a 28-day Southern Ontario lockdown again. So we'll be in the area my mom's in. We'll be down to about 42 days by the time we're down. Toronto will have gone through 28 plus 5 and another 28-day cycle. So just be safe. I know there's problems out in Alberta and BC and Quebec as well, in Canada. The U.S. has problems all over the place. Take care of yourself. Jeff, if somebody wants to get a hold of you, how's the best way?
They can email me at jeff@workplaceeducation.ca. I'm in the process of rebranding. I'm looking again to see if I can take a website and propel it upward just so that I can demonstrate to others that it still can be done. So Jeff at workplaceeducation.ca.
And Jeff's on Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn, so you can reach out, do a search for Jeff Brown. You'll find him. He's pretty approachable. We've had many a conversation batting stuff around over the years, including all this rebranding, by the way. So have a Happy New Year, boy. Jeff, thanks for joining me. Be safe.
My pleasure. Happy New Year to you, Rob, and all your audience. May this be a better year than 2020.
Yeah, it will be. Thanks so much, Jeff. Have a great day, everybody. Bye for now. A very special thank you to Jeff Brown for joining me to talk about social media trends in 2020 and moving forward to 2021. I always appreciate Jeff's insights and wisdoms, and he's a great resource. You need to follow him on social media because he actually brings a lot to the table. This podcast is dedicated to my late father, Bruce Cairns, and my wife, Jill McLean Cairns. Love you both very much. If you want to get in touch with me, you can email me, vip@stunningdigitalmarketing.com. Go on over to our website, stunningdigitalmarketing.com/free, and sign up for our free weekly newsletter with tips, tricks, and help for your marketing needs into your inbox. And besides that, you can follow me on Twitter, @RobCairns. Please keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars and make your business succeed. Bye now.